Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? Jesus asks. No, he says in today's gospel, rather, division. He says, from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. This Bible passage and its language of division have always troubled me. These are probably the eight toughest verses in Luke. Because wouldn't we rather listen to words of love and bask in the warm glow of God's peace, the peace that passes all understanding, rather than face the unpleasantness of talking about division? But the truth is, there is division. It's the elephant in the room and in our minds wherever we go these days. And Jesus names it for us this morning. I'm struggling to know how to preach the gospel with these words and minister in a church that wants to participate faithfully in God's love for this world, but at a time when our country is so divided along the lines of race and gender and class and sexual orientation and, last but not least, religion. But if we are to believe the scriptures are the word of God, we cannot avoid talking about division as well as peace. One of the biggest problems with this elephant is complicated by the fact we all love people who, knowingly and unknowingly, bring one form or another of the elephant into our lives. They're part of our families and our communities. And the world is so dramatically changing that we often don't know what to think or even how to react anymore. Just think about how recently you maybe found yourself debating whether to go along with a friend's differing opinion or go with God's voice. We either fear, it seems, we'll offend people by talking about it, preferring civility over honesty, or we just avoid the issues and hope the elephant remains silent and doesn't cause too much short-term damage to our relationships. Someone recently said that we're caught between times, and we're going to have to make some uncomfortable moves. In our Christian tradition, we already know that we're in these in-between times as we await Christ's coming again. But religion is so important to our society, and we can't get along without it. There are many deep wells of faith and knowledge in each one of us. And one thing I can assure you, your clergy team here at St. Luke's is called to care for all souls in our congregation, not just with those with whom we agree. We want this spiritual home of ours to invite honest conversation rather than silence or divisive debate in which someone wins and someone loses. Talk to us, and whether we agree or not, we want to listen, and we want you to know you've been heard. Blessedly, St. Luke's has had the opportunity for some of these honest conversations in our own between times as we search for a new rector. For those who have been participating on committees and in focus groups, the breadth and depth of this search is creating new and renewed relationships in conversation with one another. Our search work consists of so many past and present ties that bind us together, enabling us to remain focused on what we are trying to do. In times of great division and conflict, staying together on something meaningful in our community, such as this search, will help us ride the wave of our times. This kind of focus is allowing us to think not only about the essential and non-negotiable tenets of our faith, but about our ability to be creative, consider new options, and shift away from outdated habits, and build trust in the emerging future leadership that inevitably comes out of a search. Just like in my own spiritual direction work, the primary way to prepare for the unknown is to attend to the quality of our relationships, to how well we know and we can trust one another, especially in vulnerable times. This church has a heartbeat that is strong and sustaining. And when we remember that heartbeat first comes from God, we can be assured that our work will be guided by the Spirit, keeping us hopeful at a time when conflict and divisions are swirling around us. Maybe that is one of the gifts of our times, that our collective thoughts and our reflections will influence who we want to be and who to choose to help us, help lead us in spite of all that is happening. In his book, Canoeing the Mountains, Todd Bolsinger says all churches are at a crossroads. As they are viewed more and more with distrust and cynicism in our culture, he says we basically have to learn to lead and do ministry all over again. He compared what needs to be done with the travels of Lewis and Clark's expedition to explore the newly acquired Louisiana Purchase in the early 19th century. Believing that the eastern part of the country was just like the west, they set out in canoes, confident they could walk and paddle their way to the Pacific Ocean. Discovering this important trade route would be like owning the internet today. But what lay before them was nothing like what lay behind them. When they got to the Rockies, the explorers described them as the most terrible mountains they ever saw. They faced a big decision. What would they do now? They had been looking for a water route, but now they had run out of water, and they certainly could not canoe over the mountains. At that moment, they had to change plans, give up their assumptions and expectations, and rethink everything. Trying to do things like they'd done before and just trying to do it harder was not going to work. There were no experts and no maps, no best practices, and no sure guides who could lead them safely and successfully. They were going to have to go off the map and into uncharted territory. Here were these experienced explorers and canoe paddlers who now had to learn to climb mountains. How to do this certainly must have caused division among their leadership. And there must have been a fair amount of fear and trembling. But somehow, they successfully found a way to keep going no matter what. The Beinecke Library at Yale has over 80 of the original maps of their expedition, drawn mostly by Clark along the way. Two of them were even drawn from information that they received from Native Americans that they met along the way. Some of these simple drawings of rivers lined with little trees beside the shore are wonderful. And when I saw these maps, each line drawn and each description and annotation along the way, I realized that sometimes when we don't know what to do, we have to keep learning as we go, just like Lewis and Clark, and indeed, just keep going, no matter what. The Bible, in so many ways, is like a map, too. It's full of stories and descriptions of journeys about the lives of God's people as they moved into unknown lands and communities, trying as faithfully as they could to follow and serve God. Often, the odds were against them. And as Bolsinger said of Lewis and Clark, it has always been a small band of people willingly headed into uncharted territory with a mission worthy of our utmost dedication. In Jesus' ministry, he and the disciples often kept going no matter what. Their dedication kept them on the road, going from town to town, not sure who or what they might encounter. And wherever they went, healing and mostly talking about peace and proclaiming a kingdom of justice for all, their work inevitably triggered divisions between those who held power and those who had no voice. The Jesus we hear this morning seems so out of character, but he's expressing his human frustrations as time is running short for him. Over and over in his public ministry, he kept offering and inviting people to experience and envision a kingdom of God for all. But the resistance and the rejection, especially among the powerful, was often relentless. We are at a crossroads of important decision-making right now. This is truly a divine moment in these between times. There may not yet be a clear route in front of us, but Jesus has always told us that if we follow him, focusing on what can be, we must keep going. And even in the midst of division, we will be following the one who was willing to die for us and trust that God always has this world and us in God's loving hands. As we gather together here this morning, I'd like us to remember we have already experienced Christ's saving grace, and we already have been given and live in that light when we choose to see it. For a moment, imagine being in a car on a two-lane country road at night. It's pretty dark, so we turn on our high beams and we edge closer to the middle of the road to be safe. And then, driving up the hill, we notice headlights shining over the top of the hill from the other direction. What do? Well, we move back into our lane, away from the center line, and turn our lights down. This is a moment when we have begun to experience enough of the other car to have changed our behavior, but have not yet seen the car fully revealed. Similarly, we in the church have already experienced enough of God's love, grace, and justice and peace in our lives. And knowing just a little of God's vision for the whole of God's creation, and sharing maybe just a bit of God's dissatisfaction with the pain and division in the world as well, can we keep going into the unknown up ahead, knowing God is with us, in our lane, behind us, beside us, and waiting for us up ahead as we adapt? God has already equipped us to be the drivers and the spiritual mountain climbers who can navigate through life's still and stormy waters, even in the mystery and the unknown in this life. So here we are at a crossroads, with division nipping at our heels and hearts. I hope that these dog days of summer, that during them that we'll have the faith to hold on and remember that things can come together in strange and unexpected ways. And just maybe, at the opportune time and under the impulse of God, when division is still happening, maybe it's really the gospel beginning to break in among us. And now it's up to us to decide how we'll respond. Amen.